Right on. Here goes.
One, two, three.
Hello, Ann Arbor and the world. Thanks for tuning in. We are It's Hot in Here, and I am Andrea Krause with my fellow co-host,
Jennifer Johnson, and this is WCBN FM Ann Arbor.
That's right. We have all sorts of great stuff for you today. We're going to be talking about environmental stewardship via performance art and dance. And in the studio, we have three special guests. Jessica Fogel, who is a professor at the School of Dance at the University of Michigan. David Biedenbender?
Biedenbender.
And Robert Alexander. And we will introduce you to them in just a short moment. On the phone later on, we will have Jamie Kidwell from the city of Ann Arbor calling in to tell us about next week's Ann Arbor Sustainability Forums.
And if you didn't know it already, this week and some of next, all of next week until next Sunday, is WCBN's annual fundraiser. Every year we take only 10 days to ask for a bit of financial support. We are entirely listener supported, except for this great space that we're in that is provided by the University of Michigan. And so listener supported, volunteer run. We just need a little bit of cash to keep that going. And we have a lot of exciting items that you can enjoy to show off your love for WCBN. And if you call in during our show and give a pledge of $30, you will have your very own It's Hot in Here reusable mason jar with lid.
Doesn't get better than that.
That's right. That's right. Gus is snapping his fingers here in the engineering booth. He's very excited about it. They're beautiful. If you want a picture of it, go to hotinhere.us, and it's on the events tab. If you want to see more exciting WCBN premium items, go to wcbn.org, and there's a link right there on the homepage. So in honor of talking about dance, music, and academia broadly, let's go to our first tune, and then we'll come back to our guests. This is You Can Dance by Chili Gonzalez.
The Electrocano Universe. You can dance, you can dance, you can dance.
We are back.
That's right. So just to give our listeners a little preview of what we're going to be talking about today, last semester I was checking my email and I got an email from the Herb Institute here at the University of Michigan. And there was a bio about Professor Jessica Fogel, who somehow blended environmental stewardship with dance. So I was like, oh, wow, we have to find out more about this.
First of all, how is that even possible?
Right.
And we're going to find out.
So luckily, Professor Jessica Fogel decided to come in and join us today. So just to give you guys a little introduction, she is a professor at the School of Music, and she has multi-layered dances which feature unique collaborations, merging movement, text, music, digital projections. Did you think that pretty much encompasses your work, or would you...
Absolutely, but another big thing I do is something called sight dance performance that takes audiences outside of the traditional theater space and brings them into locations where they're really paying attention to a sense of place, and that's where this whole environmental stewardship comes into being.
That makes a lot of sense.
Wow, fantastic. And what a... I already have so many questions for you, which is good that we have this hour to digest them. My mind is immediately going to how the space itself then influences the performance and how it's different every time, potentially.
That's a huge factor. You always have to consider change, especially when you're doing something outdoors. I mean, a sight dance performance can take place within a building, but it can also be in an outdoor setting. And, you know, I came of age as a dancer in the 1970s in New York City, where there was a lot of breaking of boundaries, and part of that was a lot of investigation of sight dance performance. There were dancers and choreographers creating works on rooftops and ponds, walking up and down the sides of buildings. So this was the kind of world that I was coming into. I've been teaching here at UM since 1985, and when I first came here from New York, I was really excited about the big proscenium traditional theater stage spaces like Power Center, and I still am, and it's a real privilege to create works in these traditional spaces for our really talented, fabulous dance majors here. But about 12 years ago, Bob Gracie of the Arboretum and Mathai Botanical Gardens, I was invited to do a project that celebrated the restoration of a part of the Arboretum called the Heathdale Glen. And that brought me back to my site-specific dance performance roots in a really wonderful way. That was in 2002, and it in the spring of 2002, after this horrible 9/11 year, it was a really fabulous restorative project that was celebrating restoration. And that took place along the steep winding paths down into the glen. Dancers performed on fallen logs, down steep slopes against trees, and the audience was led from one location to the next.
Wow.
And had a very different kind of apprehension of this place. There were both in the audience people who just came upon it because they happened to be in the Arb that night, the kind of dance and arts world, but also people who like the Arb who don't go to performances at all. It's a very different way when you're bringing an audience into a place and asking them to look in a particular way about form and texture and color and space with music.
Right.
And it brings a very different kind of attention.
And now on the point of with music, luckily, Jessica, you know, came in with the people who she also collaborates with, the musicians.
Yes, on this fantastic Into the Wind project, which we will be getting into momentarily. With us, we have composer David Biedenbender, who comes to us from Wisconsin, but says he's from Michigan, which is great. Still a hearty Midwestern. From his website, it says his first musical collaborations were in rock and jazz bands as an electric bassist, and later in wind and jazz bands as a bass trombone and euphonium player. So he's doing... He's a musical, self-proclaimed musical omnivore, and I really dig it. He's collaborated with many performers and ensembles all over the world. We're talking the United States Navy Band, string quartets in Sweden, Philharmonic orchestras in Germany, all over the place. You can check it out at davidbiedenbender.com. But he is also a dedicated teacher in addition to doing his composition work. He is a doctor of musical arts and a master, and has his master of music degree, both from the University of Michigan, and is currently lecturing in the School of Music in a creativities course.
Wow.
Fantastic.
You are busy.
Wow. And we also have Robert Alexander.
Hello.
Yes.
So Robert Alexander is a sonification, am I pronouncing that right?
Yep.
Sonification specialist with the Solar Heliospheric Research Group at the University of Michigan. And he's currently a PhD candidate in the Design Science program. So before I actually expand further.
you just blowed my mind
please,
like six times.
I would like for you to maybe give us a little bit of an overview of what a sonification specialist, what does that mean?
Sure. That means someone who takes data sets and translates them into sound. So in this instance, you know, we're working with data that's been collected specifically from the city of Muskegon that deals with the evolution of, you know, the wind over the years. There's so many different data parameters like the wind direction, the wind speed. So my job is, you know, working with David and thinking about, you know, in terms of the musical composition, how can the wind inform its evolution? And then working with Jessica, thinking about, you know, how is this all relating to the overall project?
Wow. That's incredible.
Sonification specialist. If anyone has any data sets, I'm sure I'm sure you're swapped, but it's a bright future. That's exciting. That's exciting. How far along are you in your program?
This is my last year.
Congratulations. It's a brilliant year, hopefully. Also a challenging year. Well, that's exciting.
So you guys all work on, you know, what in my head, I think prior to today was I didn't really see how the environment could be tied to dance, could be tied to, obviously I see the link between the composer and the dancer. But then, you know, like the fact that you can transform data from the wind into sound and blend it into these things that, you know, in my head, I would have never pieced those things together. So could you guys maybe explain a little further about how you came together and then maybe how that relates to this Into the Wind project?
Well, last May, I was sitting at the School of Music, Theater, and Dance graduation, and I heard Dave and Rob playing this wonderful work together because I believe Dave was getting some fancy award having completed his doctorate. And I, at that time, I was casting around for music for a dance I was about to embark on rehearsing during the spring term. I'd been listening to a variety of things. When I heard these two guys playing, I thought, wow, they're really good. I went home, got on their websites, listened to more of their music, got right in touch with them and asked them if they'd be interested in lending me their music for a project I was working on in collaboration with an astronomy professor here, Sally Uy, whose research is about the evolution of stars and their effect on the galaxies. And was particularly excited to find out that Robert was sonifying solar winds. I thought this fit in beautifully. And then I also came upon this gorgeous work by Dave called Liquid Architecture that features this bass trombone that to me sounded like one of these giant lonely stars in the universe. And it seemed like a perfect work to work with. So I was in touch with them. We worked on this project a year ago. And then when I was conceiving of this sabbatical project, I thought it would be nice to extend this kind of collaboration and work with something from scratch, because what they supplied me with last year were already composed works. But for this project, they'll be creating new music, which is always thrilling.
Absolutely. Well, we should take a listen to a collaboration between Rob and Dave. And while we're taking a listen, why don't you give us a call and show your love for WCBN? Have your credit cards handy or your checkbooks. The number to dial is 734-763-3500. Once again, 734-763-3500. We have dedicated callers, volunteers, rather phone operators ready to take your call. So let's listen to this tune, A Line Between Two Spaces. Right, that was A Line Between Two Spaces. What was, so as a sonification specialist, Rob, what is the, what is there a particular data set that is informing the sound there? Or was it something else?
Particular performance, I think the underlying idea is that I construct new interfaces for musical expression. Hmm. And so sonification is one example where we're taking scientific data and then allowing that to unfold in a way that informs a larger musical structure. And with this piece in particular, I was creating a new interface that supported musical improvisation with a sort of hyper-instrument that we built where the piano is, you know, exaggerated and, you know, we articulate it in certain ways that aren't possible without electronics. And so largely this piece was an improvisation where I didn't really know what was going to happen going into it. Dave never knows what's going to happen going into it. I'm standing there with a Wiimote in my hand and a MIDI controller in front of me, and Dave starts playing, and I have an understanding of the types of ways that I can manipulate the sound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having played this a few times, we do have certain gestures that we generally do move through, but the whole performance is always an experience of saying, okay, where is this going to end up? And then the technology and the interface that we've constructed supports that evolution.
Wow. So you must have great chemistry together, first of all.
We do. And I should mention, this is our that piece was our first collaborative project. We did our master's degrees together at U of M, but we didn't really kind of get to know each other until we were both on the faculty up at the Interlochen Center for the Arts. And we had dinner and we're just kind of hanging out and started talking about our interests, and we decided to get together, and this piece kind of grew out of that, and we had our first performance up at Interlochen. So it's me performing on the piano, and Rob has a Wiimote and a keyboard. You mentioned a MIDI keyboard. And so it's a really, really kind of interesting way to start to get to know each other through music. And since then, we've had several other collaborations.
That was going to be my question. As you guys played together after that first initial collaboration, were there just ideas flowing? And afterwards, you guys were like, we have to keep working together?
Or? Yes.
Absolutely. Okay.
Rob is kind of a ball of energy. So whenever he says, hey, I've got this idea, I say, I'm in.
Let's do it. I had this idea about translating some data from the sun into sound. So I immediately went to Dave, and we started thinking about how we could map, in this case it was 8 data parameters onto 16 instruments in the orchestra, and thinking about how can this data inform the music in terms of the chord structures and the instruments and their voicings. And so that was then the bridge into the world of sonification in terms of our collaboration.
And one of our big projects was a group called the Mind Ensemble, where we were very kind of interpretively sonifying data from EEG headsets, wireless EEG headsets. So we're taking brain data and creating music out of that. And there was a multimedia performance in the Duderstadt Center with a group that Rob essentially led and put together. And so, we've been involved in a few different projects where music and dance and sonification all kind of come together. So,
wow. Brave.
Very much so. So one of those projects is the Into the Wind project, right? Mm-hmm. Jessica, could you maybe give us a little bit more information about what exactly it is?
Sure. This is a multidisciplinary cross-regional project that involves dancers and musicians and colleagues in natural resources and literature and the arts. From both the University of Michigan campuses and Grand Valley State University, and it's all inspired by the potential for developing offshore wind energy in Michigan. I came to this project initially through my colleague Sarah Adlerstein, who's involved with some wind siting methodology research going on. Right now, I think it's in the Thumb area of Michigan. And a few years back, she was poised to create a video inspired by wind energy. We had worked together on another project inspired by the health of the Huron River called Mapping the River, and she asked me if I wanted to get involved with this video inspired by wind. I said yes, because wind is so evocative for movement. It's breath, but it's motion.
Yes.
And you can go so many different directions, literally and metaphorically, with wind. So I was on back in 2010, but then her funding for that project fell through, and it got put on the back burner. And when I was developing a sabbatical project, I thought, I'm going to do something with wind and offshore wind, knowing that there would be a lot of colleagues in different fields here at the U of M with whom to collaborate and to kind of get out of the box a little bit, and also to do it in a site-specific way, in a non-proscenium theater way. I thought it would be really exciting. This eventually led me to the Michigan Alternative Renewable Energy Center and a guy called Arne Bozart, who's the director there, which is located in Muskegon, and they've been performing offshore wind energy research via a buoy that they've had out in Lake Michigan that's been measuring wind speeds for the past 3 years. They take second-by-second information, and it's that information that Robert and Dave are going to be tapping into in part as one component of the score. But I thought it would be interesting to develop a dance performance featuring live music, in which the audience would be taken into a space. It's actually an empty, undeveloped lot that's poised in between this Michigan Alternative Renewable Energy Center building, which is a LEED Gold certified, wonderful modern building on the shore of Muskegon Lake. And in the background of this undeveloped lot is the BC Cobb coal plant with its constant plume of smoke in the background. And that's due to be shut down probably in 2016. Mm-hmm. So the location I chose spoke to me as a place that's very much in transition with a lot of potential for metamorphosis, reinvention, and that this is a community that has had to reinvent itself over and over again over the decades. So this idea of metamorphosis, resilience, and how our landscapes are evolving from one form of energy to another. Now, with offshore wind and onshore wind, there's a great deal of controversy.
Right.
When onshore wind has been developed in locations throughout Michigan and the country, it leads to these really emotional arguments, and it's battled over in local municipalities, neighbor against neighbor. And I, as a sight dance artist, I'm always looking for the stories embedded in landscapes, and I thought this is a really interesting project. It's not just about wind, but it's about the winds of protest and what's going on in these communities. And the developers and the city planners and whatnot are often involved in close dialogues with the communities where they're developing these things. And they often develop kind of quantitative questionnaires. For offshore wind, one of the approaches is to show people pictures of a turbine 3 miles from shore, 6 miles from shore. Would you like it if it were here? How do you feel about it if it's here? And they collect that kind of data. But I thought it would be interesting to have a more kind of qualitative dialogue where people are imagining what a landscape could become. And actually, this site on Muskegon Lake is not where you'd put a turbine. It would be out in Lake Michigan, much further out. But the Muskegon Lake forms a kind of bay that leads into Lake Michigan. And it would be a great area for, like, a wind turbine factory where these huge components and blades could be shipped by water on barges. To the entire country, actually. They're very hard to ship these components over land. So using the waterways is one way. So that's one way this community might be able to reimagine itself. So anyway, I developed this idea of using performance and visual art and poetry and music as a way of bringing the community into the topic in a new way. And I'm not quite sure what form the community dialogues associated with the performance. The performance is supposed to be a catalyst for dialogues. But it's not going to be one of these formal sit down with your clicker, look at a thing and say, I like this better, this on a scale of 1 to 5. But more open-ended and divergent in terms of kind of inviting community participation in imagining what their evolving landscape might become.
Rob and Dave, is that what drew you guys in as well? The sort of public participation that this would bring about, or was there a different element that caught your attention in regards to this project?
I was so fascinated in working with a project that's so cross-disciplinary and that's bringing in so many artists from so many different backgrounds, but then also embracing the science and the culture and the politics and the idea of environmentalism. I mean, there's just so much here. And feeling, like I could be a part of this project, and having collaborated with Jessica in the past and knowing the richness that she brings to her project, and having seen the dance that she created around the solar wind composition that I'd created, I just knew the attention that she pays to all of her work and, the level of detail and the level of thought. And so I really just jumped at the opportunity to be a part of this project.
Yeah, and same for me. I mean, having worked with her in the past and having, I consider myself a Michigander. This is a huge issue in the state right now. And my wife is from from Pigeon, Michigan, in the Thumb. And in the last 5 years, her small farming town has been transformed into one of the largest wind farms in the state. There are positives, the economic transformation for some of those farmers. is really remarkable. But the landscape from this kind of beautiful farmland to, you know, 50 wind turbines with their blinking lights, and it's a very different place than it once was even just 5 years ago. So the opportunity to kind of explore what all of this means through this interdisciplinary project seemed like a really interesting opportunity for me, both as a musician and also just someone interested in the welfare and the future of this state.
There seem to be real intergenerational issues at stake here amongst wind as well. When I was just doing a little bit of research on what was going on in Muskegon, so posters of a man with his child and clearly saying, this is wind farming. It's not green. It's not good, blah, 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 and encouraging the child to kind of hold that up. So there's the future sustainability aspects, which many of us are concerned about, and coal is certainly more problematic in that case. But these multiple visions of what kind of the ideal future is in the context of energy and landscape is really tricky.
It is, and it's a very nuanced and complex debate. It's not, you can't just peg it as NIMBYism. It's
right.
Both sides are really well informed, and the issues for and against are all valid and have to really be carefully considered, and So it's not an easy topic.
No, it's not. But it's really interesting the way you guys are approaching it through dance and music. I'd like to maybe play a clip from one of the works that you guys have developed for this. So,
yes, this is Liquid Architecture, and it was one of the pieces that Jessica and I collaborated on back in June for this dance piece. So this was our first kind of working together, and since then we've developed Into the Wind. So.
Yeah, this is not for associated with Into the Wind.
Okay.
It's associated with a piece called From Afar that was dealing with the astronomical research.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's hear it. It was really beautiful.
Thank you.
And Rob, just going back a little bit to your work, and especially, you know, since I assume you're going to be using a lot of wind data, wind sounds to work into the wind project. Mm-hmm. But in the past, you've focused specifically on solar wind.
That's correct.
So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So originally I was contacted by Thomas Zurbuchen, who's the head of this solar and heliospheric research group at the University of Michigan, and they had this, you know, wild idea of, you know, what'll happen if we listen to our solar wind data. And, you know, it turns out a lot. You know, there are a lot of things that we can find, and it's very turbulent, very complex, and very dynamic system. And so I've taken several different approaches with regard to, you know, how to go about translating this data into sound. And one that's really resonated in particular has been this idea of appealing directly to the intuition of the listener. So, for instance, you know, if someone looks at a graph or, you know, just a long string of numbers, they might, you know, tend to turn off and say, this isn't what I do. You know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a researcher. You know, this isn't something that appeals to me directly. So I found that in taking some of these data parameters, like the velocity of the solar wind, and, you know, we have very high-resolution measurements of these types of parameters. So in taking something like the velocity and mapping that back to something like a terrestrial wind sound, it's like a whooshing, you know, just a series of, you know, filters placed over white noise, you can create a very terrestrial, very organic-sounding wind with this solar wind data. And in this way, we're able to map back these things that are taking place way off in space that, you know, otherwise we might not really be able to feel like we can, you know, really grab onto and you know, bring them down to a level where we can connect with them in a more of a visceral way. And so in the example that we'll listen to, we're also hearing carbon charge states that are mapped to the presence of this cloud of voices. And so that tells us something about the temperature. So as the solar wind is getting hotter, we hear more of these voices singing in a higher register that, you know, tend to poke out, you could say.
Right.
And there's also this low sawtooth bass line, and that changes in relation to the rotation of the sun. So every time that that changes twice, we know that the sun's gone around for one full rotation. So this is a piece that's the year 2003, and it's generated by the solar wind data.
Okay, so let's listen to that. And again, this...
This is It's Hot in Here, and this is WCBN FM Ann Arbor. Give us a call at 734-763-3500 and show your love for us and get beautiful things like your very own It's Hot in Here reusable mason jar back, or now available by popular demand. Let's be serious. Today we are here with Professor Jessica Fogel, David Biedenbender, a composer, and Robert Alexander, a sonification specialist. And we were just listening to one of Rob's tunes from Solar Wind Data.
So different than looking at a chart. It's very true.
You can feel it. I mean, there's something, that translation, that's phenomenal. I'm almost speechless.
Absolutely.
Which is not good for radio.
Glad it resonated with you. Yeah.
That's kind of the point of projects like these, that the arts can bring a public to their senses in a very different way than just the information at arm's length. And there's something about bringing an audience into a place and having them experience this in a very embodied way that gives a whole other entry into these kinds of topics.
Absolutely. So it's not, I mean, the issues of wind, the issues of energy, they're not simply about numbers. Yeah.
No.
Push one if you like it to be 1 kilometer away from the shore. Push two if three. Mm-hmm. But there's all kinds of things that are going into making those decisions and what they will mean. It's beautiful.
Jessica, could you maybe just give us a brief overview of where you're at in the process with Into the Wind? Is that something that is happening right now or will be performed later?
Well, a lot of the pre-production planning is going on right now. I've been, since my sabbatical started in January, I've been meeting with my collaborators both in Muskegon and here in Ann Arbor, and each meeting reveals more information that I'm kind of playing with and thinking about as I'm putting the project together. And I spent the whole fall also kind of researching the topic and with some of the planning and grant writing. And we'll hit the ground running in the spring term with the actual rehearsals with a group of dancers and musicians. We'll have a preview here toward the end of the spring term on June 6th and 7th. And then we'll gather in Muskegon at the end of August with performances slated there for August 22nd and 23rd. And we'll do an encore performance at someplace on campus in September, and we'll likely be talking about the project through the year. So it's going to have that kind of a life cycle.
Wonderful.
It's fantastic. It's such a wonderful experience to be able to speak with you in the sort of medium to early stages of this.
We'll definitely have to keep tracking this. So on the topic of public participation, just after a short musical break, we will have Jamie Kidwell on the phone, who is the sustainability coordinator for the city of Ann Arbor, and she will tell us about next week's Ann Arbor Sustainability Forums. So hold on tight.
Right on. Yes, that was a long, drawn-out intro to David Bowie's Let's Dance, which you can listen to on your own time. This is WCBN-FM Ann Arbor. Give us your money. 734-763-3500. Please. Hey, and now Jamie Kidwell from, she's a sustainability specialist with the Ann Arbor City Government is here on the phone. Hello, Jamie.
Hello. Thanks for having me today.
It's our absolute pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in. So, Jamie, you work on sustainability with the city of Ann Arbor. What does that encompass?
A lot of things, actually. So I've been with the city about 4 years, and I'm here in our systems planning unit, which for all intents and purposes you can think of as a sustainability shop for the city. It's really got all of those positions that you would find in any other city office, you know, forestry, recycling, environmental coordination, stormwater, water quality, all of those different pieces.
And part of that is, I guess, engaging the public with all of these pieces as well, right?
That is exactly right. And I think that's one of the things you want me to talk about today.
Absolutely. Yeah, please. I just got an email about the Ann Arbor Sustainability Forums that are happening next week. Could you tell us a little bit about what exactly that entails?
Yeah, of course I can, and I'm glad you got an email. That means our communications are working.
Yeah,
congratulations.
So for 3 years now, we've done a series of sustainability forums in partnership with the Ann Arbor District Library, and they really started out of our sustainability framework project about 3 years ago. That's a part of our master plan that sets 16 different sustainability goals for the city. It talks about climate and energy, it talks about community, it talks about resource management, and it talks about land use and access. So to sort of help start a community conversation around sustainability and our sort of learn more about what our community vision for sustainability is, we started developing this set of forums. And the idea of the forums is actually a little bit different spin on public engagement. You know, normally when you think about city government, you think about holding public events that are based on a certain project or you're trying to get feedback on a particular plan. So this is a little bit more of an open conversation. And it's really not just the city perspective. We try to engage speakers from community organizations, often from the university, from the county, even from neighboring communities as well. So it's a very open perspective on sustainability in the community.
Great.
And so we have one next week, which is, I think, going to be a very good one that's going to focus on healthy ecosystems.
Okay. And what does that mean, a healthy ecosystem, in terms of a city?
In terms of a city, it means a lot of different things. You know, I think, again, when you think about city government, you think a lot about traditional infrastructure being roads and sort of our pipes and our water treatment. But we also think about it from a number of different green infrastructure approaches as well. You know, the city is working on a green streets policy. If you've been walking around maybe to Washtenaw Dairy, you might have noticed that there's some work going on Madison, mm-hmm. Some green infrastructure improvements over there. So it's really sort of a more holistic approach to city services in the city.
Okay. So in the past, I mean, are these pretty well attended forums? Is this something that Ann Arbor really, you know, looks forward to and knows about? Is this something that, you know, like you have a specific sort of contingency of people that come out to?
You know, we actually get a pretty different group than normally comes out for our public meetings.
Great.
We've had anywhere from 20 to 120 people. It kind of just depends on the time of year. You know, our first one was during the polar vortex. So we had some warriors come out and join us for that. But it's been some cold weather, so hopefully we'll get some people out.
Great.
And what are some of the primary concerns, and how do you anticipate that with, like, I mean, historically in some of the other forums, what are some of the primary concerns that people come out for, and how do you anticipate that that might play out when talking about ecosystems and infrastructure?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think hopefully people will come out for this forum because I think there's going to be a good debate about how our ecosystems, both natural and built, work together. And I know that that's something that has been a topic of interest in our community. I mean, I think a good example is talking about building up versus building out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of our speakers, Harry Sheehan, might talk on that topic a little bit and just what it means in relationship to our impervious surface and the stormwater impacts of that.
Okay.
So we're going to be covering sort of those broad strokes, but also we'll be going down to the nitty-gritty of, you know, what does it mean to take care of an ecosystem at a neighborhood scale? So not just the city infrastructure, but can putting a rain garden or a rain barrel in your home really make an impact?
And when people come out, are they pretty familiar with these concepts, with what, you know, a rain garden can do? Or are these forums part education, part venue for, you know, opinions?
I think both. I think that's a good point to make, and that's kind of the challenge of having one of these events, is we want to make it sort of interesting to a bunch of different participants. But we've had everybody from age 6 to 65 come to these events, so we do try and keep sort of have speakers that can talk to a variety of levels, and we do have a question and answer session. And actually, we've got tables reserved at Arbor Brewing Company afterwards in case people want to continue the conversation.
Oh, great. Nice. In a less structured way, I think sometimes a lot of the best conversations really happen.
Yeah, very informally, and it's kind of a different type of engagement.
Great. So these will be continuing through April, the second Wednesday of every month from 7 p.m. to 8:30 at the Ann Arbor District Library, Main Library, on South 5th Avenue.
That's right.
That is correct. And I think the March one, particularly for, you know, student audiences, is going to focus on climate and adaptation.
Okay.
And it's going to have some speakers from our Community Climate Partnership, which is a new project we just launched with the Ecology Center.
Very exciting.
Beautiful. All right. Well, healthy ecosystems, you can hear about them, you can talk about them, you can think about them and think with the illustrious panel that will be joining that community forum this coming Wednesday.
That's right. So just, Jamie, please, we'd like to hear just a little bit more about your work and the forums, but we're going to take a short musical dance, continuing on dance, musical, musical
you
pause,
can dance at home.
But please,
yeah,
dance at home, continue along the theme. And this is Just Dance by Mr. V.
Yeah. So we always like to remind you this is College Radio here at WCBN FM.
That's right. And it is live.
And occasionally it gets a little awkward, but we're all okay with that. And that's part of the joy, is to feel relaxed through those tensions and just enjoy it. Gus is doing a great job in the engineering booth.
Always.
We threw several, up to four different kinds of multimedia at him today to make this happen. Maybe even five. He looks to be pretty calm, which is great. Let's reiterate that this is WCBN's annual and only fundraiser. You can find out more details on that on our website, wcbn.org/donate. This show is giving away a awesome reusable mason jar with a lid where you can put your coffee in it, you can put your tea, you can put your loose teas.
Herbs, all sorts of wonderful things.
Anything you want to store, you can take it with you, you cannot take it with you. And you can see a lovely picture of that at hotinhere.us on the events tab.
Exactly. Well then, should we go? I think everything is in order. So yeah. Now if you're ready to dance,
just
here
the
comes
moment
to
of
dance.
This one. Yeah. All right, we are back. This is WCBN FM Ann Arbor. The number to dial to show us your extreme love is 734-763-3500, and we are ready to take your call. Still on the line, we have Jamie Kidwell, sustainability specialist with the City of Ann Arbor. Jamie, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. That one almost got me. If only the conference room was a little more conducive to dancing.
You were almost there. Almost there. Sometimes you have to pretend like no one else can see you. That helps. I'm sure you're already aware of these strategies. Unfortunately, we are soon running out of time. In fact, we are actually running out of time. Jamie, but we will encourage all of our listeners to check out your sustainability forums this coming Wednesday at the Ann Arbor District Library.
Well, thank you so much. I hope to see some of y'all there.
That's fantastic. And we hope to be there, too.
Good luck, and thank you for organizing it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. Wow, we have been crossing borders and boundaries of sound and movement and data from space and wind and sun and otherwise.
Wow. That's right. And I mean, you know, I was hoping we would have maybe enough time for you guys and Jamie to speak to each other, because what you're doing ultimately is supposed to also be encouraging this public participation that then maybe can enter a more structured environment via something like the sustainability forums, right? So that's a beautiful interdisciplinary, but then, you know, at the end, it all does kind of drive home the same purpose.
Beautiful. So we have been here with Professor Jessica Fogel, professor of dance, and also David Biedenbender and Robert Alexander.
That's right.
Also of the University of Michigan. Any closing words for our listeners? Knowing that you can always come back and join us on the show.
Please.
This is not the final word.
Well, thank you so much for hosting us and giving us this opportunity to share what we're up to, what we're planning, and we're really excited to get a lot of people on board with this.
It's fantastic. And yeah. I think with the multiple ways you're looking at this issue, I mean, it appeals to so many.
That's right.
Into the wind.
Into the wind.
Okay. Any upcoming performances that Into the Wind or otherwise, gentlemen?
TED Talk at the Power Center on March 15th.
Oh, great.
Oh, hey.
For anyone who wants to apply for that, it's definitely going to be a great event. So I encourage people to log on to the TEDx U of M website.
Hey.
And I'm going to give a shout out to the UM Dance Department's Moving the UM Dance Department's Moving Pictures, happening this weekend at Power Center, tonight at 8, tomorrow at 8, Sunday at 2, featuring our fabulous dance majors and grad students and faculty and guest choreographers.
Wow.
And where is that happening?
That's at Power Center.
At the Power Center. Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we will thank you very much, and we will have links to everyone's website on our website, hotinhere.us. This is WCBN FM Ann Arbor. It is our fundraiser season. Only 10 days. And that gets you basically a whole year of the best music in the world.
That's right. And where else can you listen on the radio to this amazing blend of, you know, sonification specialist, environmental, dance, performance. Yeah, it's all here. It's all here, folks. So please contribute.
The number to dial is 734-763-3500 or donate online at wcbn.org/donate. Thank you to all of our guests today. Jamie Kidwell, Jessica Fogel, David Biedenbender, Robert Alexander, and as always, our engineer,
Gus Turner.
Holding down the boards. We'll see you next week when we feature It's Hot in Here Love Fest edition with our family
That's
of
right.
It's Hot in Here. So more soon. Stay warm, Ann Arbor.